Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Ken Preston, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today podcast. Today, our podcast will focus on the subject of the Expert Soldier Badge. The concept of the Expert Soldier Badge began in 2015 as part of the United States Army Training and Doctrine Command's NCO 2020 strategy. The Expert Soldier Badge is awarded to soldiers who are neither infantry nor combat medics who demonstrate excellence in the performance of their warrior tasks and battle drills. Testing also includes a 12-mile foot march, land navigation, and the Army physical fitness test. The badge was approved on June 14, 2019, entered service in October of 2019. So in fact, 11 of the first non-commissioned officers to earn the Expert Soldier Badge received their badges from the Chief of Staff of the Army and the Sergeant Major of the Army at the Association of United States Army's Eisenhower Luncheon held at the annual meeting in Washington Convention Center on October 15, 2019. So with us today here in our studio to talk about the Expert Soldier Badge is our Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael A. Grinston. SMA, welcome and thank you for being with us here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And I'm really excited about talking about this topic. I think this is really good for the Army and it's long overdue. And I'm really excited about this.
Yes. And SMA, you know, while TRADOC had the lead for the Expert Soldier Badge, the initiative was led by the Center of Initial Military Training. So why is there an initial military training focus on the Expert Soldier Badge?
But they kind of have the lead for, you know, some of the, it's basic warrior task and battle drills. So initial military training leads the way on warrior task and battle drills. And we need that to reside somewhere. So if you look at Fort Benning being the proponent for the Expert Infantry Badge. So we needed somebody like that. And I think the Center of Initial Military Training is the right location for that.
Okay. And, you know, SMA, you have been part of this development and establishment since you were the first Corps Command Sergeant Major. Can you talk about the pilot test that was done and a little bit about your historical perspective coming into this?
We've been looking at a way that we can kind of get back to our individual tasks and drills. And then how do we measure that? So, you know, when you and I were growing up, we had this, you know, the SQT schools qualification test, and then we went to the SDTs, and we only did that for 1 year, and then out popped and it was nothing. And unless you're in your professional military education, there was no other metrics.
Yes.
It's in 350-1. You're supposed to do your warrior task in battle drills, but
yes.
Where is that recorded and how is that captured?
And I know too from past, you know, surveys of soldiers, when we talk about the skills qualification test, that goes way back. There's not many soldiers that remember that, but they want that kind of test.
Yeah, they want to be measured and say, I know my job. And we have all these education, professional education, but in the operational force, how do we get a program that institutes our warrior task and battle drills to make sure we're good at it? And even if you don't make it to the Expert Soldier Badge, at least you're going to do the training that prepares you for all those tasks. And that's important.
Yeah. So the Expert Soldier Badge is patterned after the Expert Infantry Badge and the Expert Field Medical Badge. Why?
It's expert, you know, the Expert Infantry Badge, Expert Field Medical Badge, Expert Soldier Badge. So they're all badge producing, and it says it defines an expert in these fields. So if we're going to measure it, if we're going to say fitness, define what makes an expert. And we've done this throughout the years. We said, okay, if you're an expert on the old PT test, it was 290 or above. And then we said, well, wait a minute. If I get 90 in each event, I mean, outcomes in, and we said, okay, let's 270. So we defined it, and it was quantifiable. It was measurable. Well, I think if it's an expert infantry badge, it's quantifiable and measurable, and an expert field medical badge is quantifiable and measurable, then expert soldier badge should model after those two. And those are great programs. And if you watch a medic go through those, you know, it's like this, I made it, I did it, and they're so proud. They're so proud of being, you know, in the medical field, and they're very proud of that accomplishment. And they try sometimes one or two times. And then even if you don't even set it up and go through it, just to set up the lane, you're always learning about. If you become a grader, you're learning more about your field. And I think those are great models. So why recreate the wheel if you already know what the wheel is going to look like? It may be a different name of the wheel, but it's still a wheel. That's how it looks.
And I think too, with the expert infantry badge, the expert field medical badge, and now the expert soldier badge, there are some tasks in there that are common. So like testing. So if a unit invests the resources to do one of these, you can have some commonality in there for those different career fields.
And we're still working through all that. So if a brigade, an infantry brigade, goes, hey, I want to set up a expert infantry badge, if we have some commonalities, why couldn't I, after I finish my expert soldier infantry badge, I take a couple extra days and go for the expert soldier badge? It's about the time. I'm setting all this up. Why don't I just have it an extra few days? It's a lot of time to set up a big event like this. If there's some commonalities and it's not, I have to redo the whole thing, I can go expert infantry badge, infantry guys get an infantry badge, soldiers get a soldier badge, and I got one event that's great for the entire brigade. And it's not just about one part of that infantry brigade. Because in all reality, it depends on if you have two battalions or three battalions, we're right in time. The other three battalions aren't infantry in that brigade. So, what about me? I've heard this for years, and that's why, again, it's really good. It's good to have some commonalities, and it saves them time and resources.
Yeah, I totally agree. And having been a brigade combat team command sergeant major for a heavy infantry brigade, you got those infantry battalions, but then you're exactly right, the other battalions out there. So what does the expert soldier badge measure?
It measures, are you really good at your individual warrior task and battle drills? There's a qualification standard. There's a higher standard on the fitness test. Probably got to redefine that because originally when we did it, it was a couple years ago, you did APFT. We're not doing that anymore.
Well, that's right, because it was. That's right. It was the Army Physical Fitness Test, and now we got the Army Combat Fitness Test.
And so we still got to define that. So even the APFT for the EIB has evolved over time. It used to be age and gender specific. Yeah. And then recently just changed that. And then it was just, here's your push-ups, here's your sit-ups, and you do a 4-mile run. If you meet that standard, you go. It's age and gender neutral for the EIB, just like it is to get into Ranger School.
Right.
I think we've got some work to do because the original pod, 2 years ago, we had APFT. But we're going to find some commonalities, find common ground, what defines expert in physical fitness, and then all those other tasks, being really good at those individual small team and crew tasks, land navigation, load, fire, and clear, and reduce the stoppage of a 249 and a 240. Do I know how to apply a tourniquet? Do I know how to assess a casualty, tactical combat casualty care? I mean, those are really important tasks. Do I know how to put on my protective mask? Do I do it in the right standard? And one everybody's favorite is the hand grenade. And it kind of surprised me with that hand grenade, but believe it or not, some soldiers aren't throwing rocks like they used to, don't play baseball, and the hand grenade doesn't go where it needs to go. Yeah, so it's a great event, but those are great tasks that, when you look at those tasks, you're like, of course we want to be expert at those tasks. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah. So why does the Army need the expert soldier badge?
Well, I think it's a driving force. It's like, and we kind of did this already, we had the PRT. We changed the manual, but we didn't change the test. And nobody changed how they were doing PT. So we've had warrior task and build battle drills. It's a 350-1 requirement, but we didn't have a test.
Yes.
So without the test, and there's, do we change behavior? It's a requirement, but there's a whole bunch of requirements in the Army. This is a driving factor so that we can say, if you didn't do the test, are you actually doing your warrior task and battle drills? Are you doing those individual small team and crew things that's common to all? That's the reason we developed those, because we didn't have those when you and I came in. The reason we developed those is that we went to combat, and there were some folks that didn't think they needed to know those basic warrior task and battle drills. And then when they got shot at, they didn't know what to do. They were good at their job, but they didn't know those tasks that were inherent to everybody. So if we have a test that drives what the policy is and it's measurable, we can actually see if you're doing your warrior task and battle drills just by that test.
Yeah, and I think that from an outsider now looking in, what I see too is that it allows soldiers to demonstrate excellence in their profession. And having gone through this, they understand and know what it takes to achieve that level of excellence.
Yeah, and we mentioned, and everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants to, you know, wear the PT badge, everybody wants to score 600 on the APFT or the ACFT. Yeah. And you're right, it's going to build that pride that, you know, I achieved, you know, a goal. It's like wearing my Ranger tab, you know, I achieved something so significant that this is a proud moment no matter where I go. And it kind of defines, you know, some excellence. And yeah. I think it's going to do the same.
And obviously that's tied straight into soldier lethality.
Yeah, absolutely. If we can, and I've said this, you know, multiple times, what if everybody, you know, had achieved the expert soldier badge, EIB, EFMB, and then everybody in the Army passed the ACFT? Just those two things right there, we would actually be unstoppable as an Army. It would be the greatest Army the world has ever seen. We're already the greatest Army the world has ever seen. We'd make it even greater if we just did those two things.
Sure, take it to the next level.
Hopefully, maybe 4 years, we're going to achieve that. Everybody has one.
So who is eligible to compete for the expert soldier badge, yeah. right? Or it might be easier to say, because there's obviously, you know, 150 different MOSs out there, but maybe who's not eligible to compete?
Yeah, well, those that already have, you know, that are eligible for the other badges. So 11s and 18s are eligible, EIB, and any of the medical field 68 series, they're eligible for the EFMB. They're not going to have two different badges. You get an EIB, you're not going to get an ESB. So those that the 11s and 18s for the EIB and then the 68s for the EFMB, they're going to continue to push and do their own expert badges.
Sure. So we touched on this just a little bit, but, you know, if soldiers are already tested on their warrior tasks and battle drills, why do we need the expert soldier badge? And this was a question that, you know, kind of came in from, you know, our listeners out there of other podcasts, and particularly if, you know, we talked a minute ago about, you know, 350-1 requirements. Mm-hmm. And so why do we need another badge?
Why do we have the ACFT? We do PT every day, Sergeant Major. Well, there's got to be a test. You know, we want to measure ourselves. We got to have something that says, I went to high school. Why is there a test at the end of the semester? We got to see, did you retain and know the knowledge? And then we put you under the test. And then we've done this in our society. It's just not the Army. This is our society. It's American society. You go through, you learn something, and then we're going to test you to see, did you retain the knowledge? Can you demonstrate that? A little bit is that it's demonstrated under pressure. And it's not just the warrior task and battle drills. There's more to it. So if you did it, but then there's the land nav, there's the physical piece, there's the cognitive piece, and then there's the foot march at the end. And, you know, yep. That's all going to play into it.
So, you know, and it's interesting, you know, you mentioned, you know, about under pressure, you know, so when you think about task conditions and standards, you know, the conditions, you know, when you're going through a test, the condition, there's a little bit of stress there. So that's, you know, kind of ramps it up a little bit more. Now, are these like all skill level one tasks for the expert soldier badge? Or?
Yeah, predominantly, you know, and the commander can, you know, kind of put some task, and there's some flexibility. EIB has the same thing. There's a list of tasks that you can put in, but they're predominantly, we're not going to give you a skill level four task because most of those tasks require, you know, collective type things. Yeah. So it's mostly skill level one.
Oh, skill level one. Okay. So what are some of the specific events for this new badge?
And I think I've talked about a whole bunch of them.
We mentioned the 12-mile march. So what's involved with the march? I mean, as far as rucksack, weapon, you know.
And you know, mostly you can divine the weight. But when we did it 2 years ago, 35-pound rucksack, you got to do it in 3 hours. And 12 miles, 3 hours is kind of in like the gold standard, I was in 101st, it's at any unit. Most of those light units I've always been in, 3 hour standard, but the same thing for
EIB. Yeah, so 35-pound ruck, you know, of course your helmet.
You got a helmet, your kit, and, you know, we've defined, you know, what does that look like? Is it going to be body armor, no body armor?
Yeah.
And EIB, you know, I still remember playing around with it. It was just the weight. And, you know, some people added body armor with 35-pound rucks. And so is that a requirement? So there is some flexibility in the units to, you know, kind of tweak it. But yep. There'll be a baseline standard on what tasks they'll do. And then there'll be a menu of things. Well, I want to add this. I want to add a task for my unit. And the commander has a little flexibility to add some tasks. But basic tasks, you know, low fire clear, reduced stop is M4. Yep. Low fire clear, reduced stops 249, 240. And you maybe even if you were going somewhere specific, did you want to add a foreign weapon to that? You'd have to have the foreign weapon.
Oh, so kind of like an AK-47.
Yeah, you know, so. But you know, that would be have to be one of those injected tests. That's all. But we got to have a common standard.
Yep,
so
list.
That the Army, so that we all kind of do that. So at beginning, we're going to start off with a physical fitness event. Again, like I said, that's going to have to change because originally it's APFT. And then you'll go through a series of tasks, get a medical lane. So there'll be medical tasks. There's some chemical tasks. There are then basic soldier tasks, range cards, weapons,
yep.
Hand grenades, and then
about how many tasks? About 30. I think that's what's on the EIB.
Yeah.
So, so one of those two is land navigation. So so this is day and night.
Oh yeah, day and night. It's quite the event. You know, as we've kind of evolved with land navigation, with the things that we have. But I think one of the, again, we can still, EIB tasks have tweaked over time, is that when push comes to shove, you still need to actually know how to read a map, and you need to get from point A to point B without a GPS. For most Americans, that's kind of crazy now, but I think if at the basic level, land navigation is, it may evolve, but the basic premise of how to read a map and get from point A to point B is still going to be a valuable asset. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world.
Yeah. So, you know, so your map, your protractor, your compass, I mean, it's back to the fundamentals. So,
yeah.
And I think for a lot of the alumni out there too, that here, I mean, that's good because, you know, we've had GPSs for a long time and a lot of people were afraid that those basic land nav skills would atrophy.
Yeah. And every one of our tests, most of the schools you go to still have some pretty rigorous land navigation courses, Ranger School, EF&B, EIB, ESB. And that means that if all things were shut down, you know, and we went back to could we still operate as an Army and function? And I think the answer is going to be yes.
Yep. So what echelon will the testing be administrated from? I think it's brigade.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that. Originally, it was battalion, and I think the brigade is probably the right, the sweet spot, because it's a lot of resources to get set up. But there was talk back and forth from do a battalion to a brigade. I think a brigade oversight and managing the resources to pull that together, and that's the appropriate level.
Particularly, too, I mean, for your evaluation piece of it, you want those out there that are qualified, you know, to be able to do those evaluations and so on. So that's good. So are the standards different for male and female soldiers?
No, there's one standard,
neutral.
So maybe if you saw, you know, AUSA where we promoted 11 and some ISIS Sergeant Majors, no females. We had several females compete, and they made it all the way. They made it past the physical piece. They made it through the task, and then. I think we still had two to four. I can't remember, but there was two females. There was four at the foot march, and they didn't make the standard. And it's not, you know, but there was a lot of males that didn't make the standard too.
Sure.
But we did have females compete, and I was rooting for all the soldiers on the foot march to make it. But those 11 met the standard. It's not male, female. It's just be an expert at your job.
Yeah, and I think too is for a lot of the the warrior tasks, the battle drills, land navigation skills, with the focus too back on sergeant's time training, first line supervisor training, leader training, as you talked about. I think that'll help put an emphasis on all these things we want soldiers to be, know, and do.
Yeah, some of our, we epitomize in the Army some of our special operations units. We look at how, tight a cohesive team and how well they can do the basics. And I'll take 275 when I was the first Corps Sergeant Major, and I went out and did their EIB. And the Army average around for expert infantry badge for a unit to get the expert infantry badge, I'm going to say, even on the high end, 20%, 75%. Of the soldiers in 275 got their expert infantry badge. So imagine, just like you said, if we focused in on NCOs doing sergeant's time training and training their soldiers in the basic fundamentals, and we were really good at it. That's what great units do. Look at the results of that organization. So that's what I want for the whole Army. I want them to be able to, those NCOs to go out and they know the tasks that they do. And then when they get to the testing, they'll have 75%. most units don't have a high percentage because, you know, we got a lot of requirements, but we, you know, grounded in the fundamentals. And we think our most elite units, and they're just grounded in the basics. And I think that's what we're trying to achieve with this.
Yeah. So the expert soldier badge was delayed. So when will it be? You'll begin doing the administration of the test, you know, for everybody.
Yeah, it's here. It's now. Schedule it. Get it on the docket. Put it on the calendar. So do it. Yeah, it's not my job. I'm not going to put it on your calendar for you, but it's available. CIMT's going right now, and Steve Helton had heard me talk about, you know, the great things, you know, that I was doing as the Corps and how I run this, and he said, I'm doing it right now. So there's one testing right now. They're going through it right now up in JBLM. They're running expert infantry badge and the expert soldier badge, and then the Center of Initial Military Training. They're running one this week too. So it's ready. It's available.
It's happening.
Put it on the docket.
Yeah. So, you know, and I have no doubt that, you know, as the Army looks at more of those 11 non-commissioned officers that received the very first expert soldier badge, other soldiers and non-commissioned officers and officers out there are also going to want their expert soldier badge. So, SMA, thank you very much for being with us here today and with all of our soldiers and for leading us by example.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And those 11 soldiers, I'm really proud of them. If you saw them yesterday, I mean, you know, I can tell you, I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning. And I can say, man, when I looked at those soldiers yesterday, the future of the Army is extremely bright. It's because we've got a lot of great soldiers.
Yeah, well, I think we're very fortunate to have you as our Sergeant Major of the Army. Thanks very much for being with us. And for all of our listeners out there, have a great listening day and Army strong.
Army strong.